This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wang Shaning. It is 7.06 in the morning, Tuesday the 17th of September. And in Asia, the Shanghai Composite was unchanged. The Hang Seng was down 0.8%. Kospi was up 0.6%, while Singapore's STI was down 0.2%. Now, the Nikkei yesterday was closed for Respect for the Aged Day. And the FBM KLCI was, of course, closed for Malaysia Day.
And of course, the big news yesterday was that there were attacks on the Aramco oil facilities and oil surged as a result of that, up 15%, up 20% at one stage. Dow Jones was half a percent down, and the S&P 500 and NASDAQ were down 0.3%.
And so for more insight into global markets this morning, joining us on the line is Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Joe. Now, oil did surge while investors sought refuge in safe havens after the strike in the heart of Saudi Arabia's crude production heightened geopolitical risk. So how has this affected your investment strategy?
Well, I mean, we're still focused on the Fed and the reflationary efforts underway in China and in the ECB. But you know, this is just a reminder. We've been long defense because of the tensions in the Middle East and other hotspots. So to me, it's just a reminder to stay long defense. And we have to see how this all plays out in the oil markets. There's a bump up in prices. But I think the markets took it in stride today. But until we get some resolution and some clarity, and it might be so not sanguine later today and tomorrow.
And Joe, if you had to hide in terms of this increased geopolitical tensions, which asset classes would you look at?
I would be hiding the large capital, large cap stocks, dividend payers, growers. There's a lot of corporate cash, so I would hang out there. I'm not running into any gold. That's just a knee jerk reaction. The dollar, perhaps, but just own good companies and in sectors that have above real GDP growth globally, and that's defense, cybersecurity. That's just a reminder for what happened over the weekend.
A lot of people are also saying that this will cast a pall over the economic situation globally. So do you think that this will pose an overall risk to global equities as well as influence the Fed's decision in a meeting this week?
No, I don't think the Fed's got to watch inflation very. I mean, ironically, if this is how we get inflation, that's not how you want to do it, obviously. But, the global economy's soft and soggy here. And, the policymakers, particularly ECB and the Fed, Bank of China, we're trying to regenerate growth, revive growth. And obviously, a big spike in oil prices doesn't do much good other than for the oil producers, and it takes a tax on consumption. So, we're expecting this to kind of come down a little bit here. There's enough supply out there to kind of offset, whether in storage. So, I don't think it's going to affect the Fed's outcome this week, which we still expect a 25 basis point cut.
Now, Joe, earlier you also mentioned China, and China's slowdown is deepening. Industrial output rose 4.4% on year in August, the lowest for a single month since 2002, while retail sales also came in below expectations. So in your view, is it time to take money off the table from Chinese assets?
No, I'm not sure if I'd be stepping in right now. If I was in China, I like the e-commerce sector of China, some of the big name tech companies there. But you're right, they have slowed down. And to me, that just suggests that China hopefully can work with the United States and find some off-ramp with the trade. And also more reflationary efforts underway in China. And I think the biggest thing for investors is this. Get used to growth, real growth in China below 5% or with a 5 handle. It's called a 5 handle. Because, we've gone from 8, 7, now we're at 6, 6% growth. It's going to come down to 5%, but that's still a lot of output on a $13 trillion economy. But investors should have to start expecting lower growth out of China, and it's still going to be a good place to put some money to work.
Thank you so much, Joe. And that was Joe Quinlan of the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York, expecting a 25 basis point cut out of the Fed this week. But he also spoke a little bit about oil, because oil has been the big news this of the morning after a massive attack on Saudi Arabia over the weekend. And this was a coordinated drone strike on an oil field and a processing facility in Abqaiq, both of which were owned by Saudi Aramco.
Yep, Upcake is a very important facility. They prepare about 70% of Saudi Arabia's oil production, and most of that export will actually go into Asia. So when we talk about the strategic reserves in the United States, I'm not sure whether it will help Asia or not.
Yeah, these explosions, I mean, they caused the world the most sudden supply disruption ever we've ever seen. So it's so important that the Saudi Energy Minister Prince Abu Aziz said that 5.7 million barrels a day of crude oil and gas production have been affected. And it's caused the Crown Prince to actually just all turn up at this crisis centre. And the focus has been in terms of how soon can they resume output. So there's the debate whether it's going to be 2 weeks, 2 months. And until then, I think oil prices will remain very, very volatile.
Yeah, and Aramco has said that they're actually considering declaring themselves unable to fulfill contracts on some international shipments if recovery takes weeks. And it is quite a lot of uncertainty for Aramco, especially considering that they're preparing for their IPO, which is highly anticipated with a valuation of something like $2 trillion. And investors are also going to be repricing the risk of any unexpected shocks into world energy supplies. But I guess the big question is who was behind the attacks. And the Houthi rebels of Yemen have taken responsibility. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has, of course, pointed fingers at Iran. And Saudi Arabia have also said that preliminary findings indicated Iranian weapons were used in the attack, although they did stop short of actually naming Iran as the culprit.
I think the finger seems to be pointed at Iran. Donald Trump has made a few tweets to that effect. And the signal here, which is the question in everybody's mind, will there be a war? The U.S. presidential election is coming up. Will a war help President Trump as it did George Bush Sr. a very long time ago, and perhaps George Bush Jr. as well? But the impact of high oil prices is obviously not good for the global economy, in spite of the fact that Joe Quinlan said that this is a kind of like inflation, a way to achieve inflation, although an undesired way. It's not good for the US economy. Will the US go to war? That's the main question here, right?
Well, my own view is that Trump probably doesn't want a war. He's seen to be very anti-war, actually. If you notice, he stopped some attacks recently. His own point of view is like they want to get the U.S. Army out of the Middle East as soon as possible. But he did acknowledge he did say to the press that we are closer to ever in terms of hostilities in the Middle East. Now, if we look at it for us, Malaysia, higher prices, oil prices, ironically, are good for us because we are still a net exporter. So every $1 increase in oil price actually translates to 300 million ringgit increase in government revenue, which is also good because if we look at our budget is based on oil prices of $70 per barrel.
It's 72 now, right? Oil prices?
As of last night, 69.
And the ringgit has strengthened a little bit as well.
Exactly.
Potential downsides, though, included the government may be having to subsidise pump prices, as well as not a very good outlook for the aviation sector because of higher fuel prices. Right now, though, we are coming up on a few messages and then more local news for you after this. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.